Ramadan Reflections, Day 4, Emergence of Islam and a Revolution in the State of Women, the Creation of Women.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And welcome back to Ramadan Reflections for 2023, 1444 in the Islamic calendar. Today being the fourth day of this blessed month of Ramadan, and we continue in our review of the verses of the Quran under the theme of Not Like the Other, Women in the Quran. Now, over the past 2 days, we were looking at the status of women in pre-Islamic Arabia, or the lack thereof of a status. And we were looking at how they were treated as, people, as beings, I would say, that could easily be disposed of. And they had a very low regard for women. Today we want to continue and look at the emergence of Islam. So obviously these two verses, or the collection of verses over the last 2 days, you know, represented a span of maybe hundreds of years of history of the Arabs. But what happens when Islam begins as a process of reformation and revolution, first of all in the city of Mecca, and then obviously through the Arabian Peninsula, and eventually as it is today around the world? And so I want to look at the topic of the emergence of Islam and a revolution in the status of women. And more specifically, we want to touch on the creation of the woman. Creation, obviously, meaning how did God create humanity? Where did we begin from? What are the origins of our creation? Is it as simple as just, what we think it to be, or is there more to the creation of the man and the woman? And how does Allah elaborate on that creation? And then from there, how does it continue until today? So therefore, from today onwards, brothers and sisters, we turn our focus to the dawn of Islam, the revolution and the revelation of the Quran, and the revolution rather, which Prophet Muhammad, may God bless him and his family, brought about to change the understanding of the people. Now the Quran, as we will see in this series, from today definitely onwards, because this is where we look at what Islam brought to humanity, it really sought to reform the minds of the people. Not only 1400 years ago, as I've been saying, but this is as something which Islam is seeking to do till today and till the end of time. And therefore the selection of verses which we're going to go through in these first 2 weeks of Ramadan, we'll see what Allah was saying to humanity about women, and what Allah was telling the women is their worth and their status and what they need to celebrate as being a blessing from God. And so really right at the outset, you know, we need to look at the creation of the human being. Many people, both then, meaning 1400 years ago and even till today, they seem to think that the woman is less of a human being due to how God created them. Now what I mean by this, you know, in this very brief preamble, is that if you look at the Bible in the book of Genesis 2, verses 20 to through to 24, this is what the Bible says, that, but for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and then closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib that he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of the man." In fact, you know, that's a quote from the Bible, direct quote. Some other belief systems today actually used to debate on whether a man, or whether a woman rather, had a soul or not. Seemingly, some Western cultures who pride themselves today on their liberal democracy, they didn't even believe women were human beings. And let me just give you some examples of how their evolution of rights has come only in the last few years. You know, in Canada, as an example, where we live, from 1884 to 1964, only about 60 years ago, women were only allowed to own property, and they had the same rights as men. Only 80 years ago, 1909, we had an amendment to the Criminal Code of Canada, which criminalized the kidnapping of women. Before that, you could kidnap a woman, it wasn't a criminal offense. Between 1916 and 1960, so 60 years ago, Caucasian women were slowly given the right to vote in Canada, starting with provincial elections. And by 1918, all Caucasian women were able to vote in federal election. But it wasn't until 1951 for provincial voting privileges to extend to white women in every province and territory. And in 1960, the Aboriginal, the Indigenous women finally were allowed to vote, only 60 years ago. So, what does Islam say about women? Well, right at the beginning of chapter number 4 of the Quran, which is ironically titled An-Nisa, the chapter of the women, Allah initiates the discussion by taking us back to the creation of humanity. What does He say? O mankind, in due reverence for your Lord, keep from disobedience to Him, who created you from a single human self, and from it created its mate, and from the pair of them scattered abroad a multitude of men and women. In due reverence for Allah, keep from disobedience to Him, in whose name you make demands of one another, and duly observe the rites of the wombs, meaning the rites of kinship, thus observing piety in your relations with Allah and with human beings. Allah is ever watchful over you. Now the birth of Islam and the Quran brought with it a birth of knowledge and a clarification of teachings that have been lost or rewritten to suit some people's personal opinions, such as those of the Old Testament, the Bible. Whereas other religions and societies that were built on a lack of divine teachings looked at women in a negative light, as I displayed in some of the examples of Canada, and this can be covered over, or, you know, carried over to other countries in the world, Islam sought to ensure its followers that a woman was every much a human being. She had her own free will, her own freedoms within the confines of religion, obviously, and those freedoms extended to her social interaction, her political life, her economics, etc. And again, obviously, all of these were within the teachings and the framework and the rubrics of Islam, as laid down by Allah in the Quran and the teachings of our beloved Prophet Muhammad, may God bless him and his family, and the Ahlul Bayt, may God's peace and blessings be upon all of them. Coming back to the verse from Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4, verse number 1, I want to highlight the following points that we really need to reflect upon, especially if you want to compare and contrast it with the biblical narrative. Number one is that the Quran makes it clear that initially Allah created Adam, and then from him, or alongside of him, He created Eve, Hawa. The Quran notes that Allah created its spouse. However, you'll notice that Allah did not say He created Hawa from Adam, as the Old Testament noted that she was created from a rib that Allah had to surgically remove and then stitch it up. No, rather the Quran notes that the spouse of Adam was created from the same species, meaning a human being, not necessarily not the rib of Adam. From other verses of the Quran, we can conclude that Hawa, Eve, that is, peace be upon her, she was created to be the spouse of Adam. She was as much a human being with a body and a soul, just as he was, no less of a human. With this, we can conclude realizing that the woman is a creation of Allah. She was not created from an extra part of Adam, but rather, when later on in life, when she matures and gets married, she will become a partner in the life of another man, her husband. So she will then join with a man and live in matrimony, and God willing, with children from that relationship. We also realize that the woman is as much a human being with a soul as much as a man is. It's not that she has no soul as some religions teach. Now, let me conclude here because there's much more that could be said, but we remind our viewers to tune in tomorrow on the fifth day of Ramadan, where we're going to review the spiritual status of women in Islam, vis-a-vis how Allah talks about women and men in parallel, and what spiritual status that they both have. Carrying on this discussion and conversation, that women are human beings, they have a soul, they have a purpose in life, they have free will to live their lives, again, within the framework of Islam. And we'll see tomorrow how this carries out and how this plays out in the grand scheme of the Quranic narrative. Until then, wassalamu alaikum jami'an wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.